ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica. Até à morte.
34 games, 28 wins, 3 ties, 3 losses, 103 goals scored, 31 allowed. If that's not a record for a championship, then I don't know what it is. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Dog Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo. Sitting next to me, as you could see him.
You tricked us. You faked us all out with that one. I didn't know if you were practicing or if you were actually starting the show.
Cristiano Oliveira, ladies
and
gentlemen.
What's going on, everybody?
And also in a great white north, Dave de Oliveira. We're all wearing Benfica jerseys. Very nice. Very nice.
We're dressed up for the occasion here tonight, but good to be back on here tonight. And what a glorious weekend it was.
Absolutely. And look, we haven't been live in quite some time, so we figure why not, right? Let's do it. Let's take this joyous occasion and show ourselves our faces live so you know we exist. So here we are today live on YouTube on episode 325. Cristiano.
What's up?
32
uh-huh.
plus
5. I dropped 37. No, full of stomach. So if I couldn't do that.
32 plus 5. 37.
There it is.
I swear we didn't plan that.
We timed it. We timed it perfectly. That's why we took those 2 weeks off a couple months ago. We timed it perfectly.
Anyway, look, probably not too much on the agenda tonight. We are going to be talking about, obviously, Benfica beating Santa Clara and wrapping up their 37th title.
Yeah. Right. You beat Santa Clara. We picked up the 37th title in the team. I mean, you act like it's nonchalant. Like, yeah, look, you know, we got nothing to talk about. We only won the 37th.
For sure, this is I want to say something before we start going and talking about this. And I think that you don't have to. But I think that. There was a moment in the season where there was a lot of frustration on all of our parts, right? Cristiano and I and Dave, we were frustrated.
More than one moment.
And the reason the reason why we were so frustrated is because we knew that the talent was there. And if there was something that we didn't do is that we didn't give up on these players. We had a very strong opinion about the person who was leading them and the person that was putting them on the field and lining them up. But we never gave up on these players because if we knew that these players really weren't that great, then we were probably discounted. Well, you know, we're not that great. The squad is not that deep. There's not that much talent. So the fact that we're 7 points down in the 17th jornada, whatever it is, maybe that's warranted, right? But knowing that we had the talent that we had at our disposal and how deep we were, it just created a lot of frustration for us.
A little bit of yes and no.
A little bit of yes and no.
A little bit of yes and no, because let's not forget, when Mr. Lodge did take over this team, we had a lot of question marks. A lot of guys were not playing up to their capabilities. We had no idea what we had in Ferro, what we had in Florentino. So, I mean, you're right, but there was also other players added to the roster after the change that made this roster a little bit deeper and a lot, you know, and a little bit stronger. We kind of got rid of some of the dead waste. And so, I mean, there's some of that. But at the same time, look, Benfica just was not playing well at the time. And so I'm guessing you're sending a message or you're responding to someone that said something that triggered this message from you, because you're normally one that doesn't send messages. And right now you felt that you had to take the time out to address something. So,
I'm
wondering as to where this comes
from. I think that this comes from, there was a lot of players and PT especially saying that, they said we were dead. They said we were dead. And I know that probably that came a lot from the media, but I don't think there was a fan that really doubted the talent of this team. And I think that the frustration came most from knowing that the talent was there and we really didn't have somebody to lead us. So we had the Ferrari. If we could go to the Ferrari analogy that's been used so many times during the past reign. And now we finally, we just didn't have a driver. We didn't have a driver.
I don't know about not believing in this team, but maybe there was some sabotage. Maybe the guy who shined the flashlight in Creator's bedroom, maybe he's trying to sabotage the season. How about that? Is there any possibility of that? Dave, what do you think?
If he shone the light on Vieira, that would have been he would have wanted Vieira or Rui Vitória to be there, because when he saw the light, he went back on his word for firing him. So I think that guy wanted Rui Vitória to stay, but
sabotage.
Yeah, I guess, but sabotage would have been if he still wanted him there and to keep losing. But it all worked out for us. With Bruno Lage, somebody to take control of the Ferrari and somebody that knows how to drive manual and not automatic, because this guy really kicked it into gear for us this second half of the season.
Yeah, and it was a tremendous turnaround. I don't really care about the Santa Clara game. Look, we won, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a breakdown, tune in to another podcast, another show, because at the end of the day, I don't care. We won. We were able to get the stamp on number 37. Not that any of us doubted at this point. I mean, Benfica had been playing terrific football and coming home against Santa Clara, a team that wants to be Benfica. Just look at their school. That should tell you enough. Even though they did play well, they came in with bad intentions, and Benfica did have to kind of weather the storm at the beginning of the game. But at the end of the day, this is a fantastic result. This is a fantastic ending to the season to a coach that came in and absolutely the face of what we call in America the franchise. He changed the club. He changed the mentality of the players. He injected some new blood. He got rid of some of the older guys, the guys that came in with high expectations that weren't either good enough or they could not live up to the weight and the pressure of wearing that Benfica shirt. And it's just been, like Dave said, the guy came in, drove that Ferrari all the way to the finish line, and it's been fantastic to see this club just put up the stats and put up victory after victory. Just look at his numbers. I'm pretty sure Dave will go over them in a little bit, but the guy dropped two points the whole second half in that miserable result at the Stadio de Luz after being up 2-0 against Fluminense. It was just a tremendous, tremendous turnaround by the boys and by Bruno Lage. And so, look, PZ, I know you're offended, and it is what it is, but the type of football you guys were playing, being 7 points behind a Porto that, forget about, you know, them playing exceptionally well, but they had every bounce go their way, every call go their way. Look, some people doubted you. At the end of the day, I'm glad you used that as motivation. I hope that helps you guys motivate yourself. And right now, it is what it is, man. You're standing at the podium. Have the Taça da Liga North, and that's all that matters.
To a lot of the players' credit also, there was a lot that was said, and there was a lot of credit given to the change that took place as Bruno Lage took over the reign. So a lot of players acknowledged that as the turning point. I think that some of them, you know, did feel a little bit hurt that there were questions. But I think that if you're a real Benfiquista, you're not really questioning the talent of this team. I think you're questioning the way that the team was being led. And I think that's what I'm trying to get at. And the funniest thing that I find in this is that after that whole fiasco with the light and so on and so forth, Luis Felipe Vieira still finds a reason to congratulate himself for putting Bruno Lage in command. He said that he had a lot of balls.
Yeah, too much. But if he would have had a lot of balls, he would have made that decision in the summertime and given a whole season for Lage.
He had a lot of balls for appointing him as head coach. Or did he say that Lage had a lot of balls?
I took it that
the other guy had that Lage.
Yeah, had a lot of balls. That's how I took. I thought he was talking about Bruno Lage too much, which we've already discussed many times on this podcast in the past.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was talking about, Alfredo.
No, he congratulated himself for having the courage to appoint Brun Lage. When, may I add.
I must have been busy jumping up and down and celebrating the title when he said that.
What a modest guy.
Yeah, and look, if we were looking at this, don't forget that there was a couple guys that were mentioned before even Brun Lage took over.
Well, I mean, before that light was showing on his bedroom, all the rumors in the world was that JJ was the next coach of Benfica. And then that light.
And then talks about Mourinho. And,
come on, yeah, even with Lage taking over this team, there were still a couple of weeks there where he wasn't given the permanent role. And they were still, there'll be a new manager appointed by the end of the week. They kept winning, and he got his permanent role there.
It was like a good 4 or 5 games before they appointed him. I mean, my escapes me right now. But look, guys, for anyone that wants to sit here and wants to criticize anyone that was critical of Benfica at the time, look, guys, it's not just a frustration of where Benfica was at that point in the season. You have to go back to the season prior to that when Benfica lost some very key players. They did not do a good job of bringing in the reinforcements to attack the Campeonato. You lose the Campeonato to Sport do Porto. You lose in the manner that you did in the Champions League. So it was a frustration of more so of what had happened in the last 3 months. It was more of what had happened in the season and a half prior. So I think, look, people were right to show their frustration and to be critical of the team. And that's what Benfica is. Benfica is always going to be critical when Benfica is not playing well. That's the sign of being a big club. You always expect and you always demand the very best from your club. And look, at the end of the day, whether it was the pressure from the fans that made the switch happen, whether it was the genius Luis Oliveira that decided to make the coaching change, whatever it was, it worked. And right now we should all be congratulating the club for doing so, congratulating whoever needs to be congratulated, whether, you know, it is Luis Oliveira, but somebody has to take credit. Lage has been exceptional. The players have been exceptional. I congratulate and I have – you know, I have a lot of positive things to say about Brun Lage, not just because we won the 37, but I admire a coach that comes in and gives every player a clean slate. He recuperated a lot of guys and some oddities of the world. Tarap got to play a little bit of time. And Tarap's a guy that was burned for the last 4.5 years. So when you bring in a coach with that attitude, it makes everyone work. It makes everyone believe that they have an opportunity to contribute at some point if they put in the work. And it's just, it's been so, so nice. And it's, you know, glad, you know, breath of fresh air to see a coach like this who comes in and speaks in football terms, but is not a negative and he doesn't want to attack other people. He doesn't want to send messages to people. I think it's so beautiful to see what's happened at Benfica. And I'm thrilled more than anything, that he's our head coach and that he's showing everyone. And he's an example to other coaches across the league. I mean, as you guys remember, Alfredo, there was no one. I think that called for JJ to return more than I did. I was ecstatic with the news that he was possibly coming back to replace Rui Vitória.
I think you might have predicted that too.
I might have, and I was right until that line was shown in his room that blinded Luis Oliveira from dialing the final digit on the phone to call
out at his judgment.
Yeah, absolutely. So credit to Vieira, credit to everyone. I mean, this has been a phenomenal, phenomenal turnaround.
Yeah, so it's the first time in 51 years or since 51 years ago that Benfica traded coaches mid-season and was able to capture a championship. That happened back in 58-59 season. Which coach substituted the existing coach? Take a wild guess.
58-59. Otto Gloria was replaced by Bello Gutman, or vice versa.
Otto Bumble.
Oh, I got the Otto part right. See, I was right. I was onto something.
Otto Bumble was replaced by Bello Gutman. Bello Gutman.
Oh, so see, I was right. I got the Otto right.
No, you got the Otto right. But Bumble, but you figure 58-59.
Hey,
it was right
name?
Around that time.
Otto Bumble.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Breaking the curse, maybe? Yeah.
Bello Gutman took over for Otto Bumble in the middle of the 58-59 season.
So you're predicting right now Benfica, that Lage is going to have the same impact as Gutman.
I'm not predicting. I said it's very coincidental that the man that brought us our 2 European titles, and granted, Eusebio was there for at least one of them, is now The guy that's brought new life into this Benfica team came in the middle of the season.
So similar paths. Was
able to overcome a 7-point deficit, win the league.
Yes.
What else is up for Bruno Lage?
I don't know, but I can guarantee you one thing. There's no Eusebio on this roster. So it's going to be very, very tough for him to match what Bella Gutman did.
No, absolutely. But, I mean, I think that there's some coincidences here. Yeah, and look, if there's guys with the conspiracy theorists out there that think of all these kind of things and that believe in that Bella Gutman curse, hey, maybe this is the one thing to get over.
There's, 47 more years left of that curse?
No, it's 100 years.
It was. All right, it's been 50-something since. So now...
Yeah, I'm not good with math. Let me give you some numbers. For the season, 60 games, 42 wins, 8 ties, 10 losses, 140 goals scored, 59 goals allowed. Bruno Lage took over in the 16th. He took over on the 16th round. I wrote it over here. 18 wins, 1 tie for the league, 19 games without tasting defeat. That's all of his games at the Benfica helm. Wins at the Dragão, Alvalade, Braga, and he was -7 points.
He wasn't -7. The club was -7.
The club was -7 points. Okay. Yeah, he won 9 points from Porto, 15 points from Sporting, and 21 from Braga.
Oh, you made up. Made up 9 points.
Well,
nine
yeah.
point definitely. Okay, you made up
9 points from Porto. Took 9 points. Well, did more. Tabulated more points than Porto, 9 more points than Porto, 15 from Sporting and 21 than Braga.
In the 19-game span.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal. The team scored 72 goals
after he took over.
That's more goals than what Porto and Sporting scored in the 34 games. Yeah. I mean, it's been phenomenal.
29 more goals than Porto. That's the biggest difference since the 72-73 season. And obviously, I know that because I was born in 72, 45 years. There's a lot of things here that we could take a look at, and it's quite a feat, regardless of, and we have one more podcast after this one, and we'll spend a little bit more time talking about this whole Lage, and
yeah, tune in, we'll break down the Santa Clara game,
what the season was. And there's quite a few numbers, very impressive. I mean, next week we're gonna talk about the season in general, but most of all, we're gonna talk about how Lage transformed this team. So don't forget to catch next week's episode. Let's just talk about a little bit about the Santa Clara game. I thought that, as Cristiano mentioned, Santa Clara came to Estádio Luz, played the uninhibited. They played their style. I think that the scoreline is way too heavy for what they did. Benfica was extremely effective as they came down a couple times and got goals on both of those times. 16th minute, Seferovic 1-0, 23, Felix 2-0, 39th minute, Rafa 3-0, and then 56th minute, Seferovic with the double to close out Benfica's tally, but Santa Clara would end up getting a goal of honor, if you will.
Says Benfica player.
That's right. And I thought that the scoreline was extremely heavy for what Santa Clara did. I thought they did pretty well. And I, as I mentioned, with the game that Benfica played against Rio Ave, and also some of the teams with nothing to play for right now in these last rounds, the way they're playing football, it's very admirable to watch this. And the same thing goes for Santa Clara, a team that was just promoted, that had a brilliant first league return year to the first league. They had the record of the most points that they've ever gotten.
It was the best league position they've ever finished in. Yeah, I mean, they played tremendous. Well. They came in to play their football. They didn't come in and just lay down like a lot of people predicted they would. And, it was good to see them play like that. And Benfica had a little bit of a difficult time at the beginning of the game dealing with that. But then once they got on the scoreboard, you know, it's what we've grown accustomed to seeing at home at the start of the lose. When Benfica gets on the scoreboard early, you know, they tend to score 3 and 4 goals. And they could have scored more on that. Obviously, a draw would have been enough. I want to go back to the João Félix goal. I mean, he's an assassin, bro. I mean, the way he finished that fake with his left, bring it back to his right, and then just bury it top of the bottom. I mean, top of the goal. Phenomenal, phenomenal finish. The kid is spectacular. He had a tremendous season for Benfica, but I think everyone, not just Juan Felix, but everyone on the club should be commended for this turnaround and this attitude that they showed in these last 19 games on the Bruno Lage. It was just phenomenal, man. And I keep saying the same things. I'm sorry, guys, but there's not much else I can say because I didn't see this coming.
Dave's got some stats on Seferovic that he's going to read them out for us. Quite an impressive year for the Swiss.
Yeah, the Swiss international, who is nowhere to be found in the summer roster, was told to be sent home or don't even bother coming with the club. Was looking for a transfer out. Transfer never came, and we ended up keeping him, and he ended up being the league's top goal scorer with 23 goals this season, and none from the penalty spot. So that's the first time in the Portuguese Campeonato that the league's leading goal scorer had no goals from the penalty spot since 2007-2008 when Lisandro Lopes for Porto did that. But yeah, what a turnaround this striker's had for us. I know he's also guilty of missing a couple of chances as well. He also missed 17 top goal scoring opportunities this season. But you know what? He's going to miss some. He's going to score some. And at the end of the day, he ended up with 23 at the end of the season. So credit to he scored more than he missed. So you got to take a positive that way. And
you didn't miss penalties.
No. And credit to Samadis too on that pass, that first pass to Seferovic on that that first goal. There was a thing of beauty.
There's a lot of storylines to this Benfica team, and especially guys in particular. And Chris, I guess I go to you. Jonas came in towards the end of the game, visibly emotional. Do you think that the emotion was brought upon by what he went through the season with injury issues, or do you think this was a goodbye from Jonas?
I mean, when you see a player coming in showing that much emotion on the last game of the season, I mean, we go back to when Nico Gaitán was subbed off and he was visibly using tears. It normally indicates that this possibly will be their last game. And when, you know, you see a guy with the experience that he has, the guy's playing on the Brazilian national team, the guy's playing in the La Liga, and you see that emotion. I mean, it really got me thinking that this could possibly be his last game for Benfica, and possibly even the last game of his career. I mean, he did admit after through the celebrations that it was a difficult season for him because his body just wasn't able to do what he's accustomed to doing. So there's a good chance, man. There's a really good chance. I hope that's not the case. But at the same time, if he is to come back, I want a healthy Jonas. I don't want to see a broken Jonas who's, you know, could still put the ball in the back of the net. The guy with one simple touch could change the whole game. But it's not fun to see Jonas playing the way he did this season. And then you see him, bro. I mean, the guy came in and he wanted that goal so bad. I haven't seen Jonas.
The team was playing for him.
Try to get a goal this bad since he arrived at Benfica. I mean, even Benfica was trailing in games. I mean, it was just, had he scored, the Stade de Luz would have erupted, bro. It would have been absolutely bonkers. And it goes to show you, like you said, the team was playing for him. It goes to show you that his teammates appreciate him, that his teammates like him. And that's important, man. That's important for a player as well.
Yeah. Talking about Jonas, if he had any pain in his back, he certainly didn't show it in the celebrations. He was probably the most active guy during the celebration. That just shows the level of happiness. Well,
Elite works magic, bro.
The whole team was happy after Vieira announced that their bonus would be doubled.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that nobody saw that coming. I mean, that was tremendous.
Not even the players saw that coming.
I mean, the guy that got the biggest pay raise from that, the biggest, you know, that profited the most was Lodge. I mean, he was getting $1 million. Now he's getting $2 million. The other guy's got a 25 guys got to split $4 million. And Lodge was just like, calm, cool, and collect. Like,
and that's the thing. I was watching the celebrations with my wife, and my wife is not a Benfiquista. And we were watching the celebrations, and she kept saying that, you know, he's just chilling. Lodge is just, he's just hanging out. He's got a smile on his face, but he's not over emphatic like the rest of the players were. We did see him with a couple of drinks, but nothing too crazy. It was just typical. It was just like
just another day at the office.
He had to go to work the next day, right? Yeah. He was just Christina, what do you do? Any images for you with the celebrations that really stuck out? Things that touched you?
Of course. Shut up. Not joking. come on, bro. Listen, I don't think there wasn't a single Benfiquista worldwide that did not crack a smile when Eliseo showed up. At first, like, is that him or is that someone that looks like him? Because obviously the guy hasn't. I mean, he's been MIA.
Yeah.
Since the comet a couple years ago, and then all of a sudden, so I was like, they're playing a prank. They put a guy that looks like I'm out there in a moped, but no, it was him. I mean, the dude, and he wasn't having any of it. People were trying to talk. He's like, yeah, whatever. They're like,
You know what the funniest thing is that they had a guy there, and it's probably a guy that works for a club with another moped, which is probably the moped that they had. I don't know if it was the original one that he had. But he was just there just in case somebody wanted to ride and celebrate. And here it comes
Uber on the spot.
Here comes Eliseo with the fedora with the sunglasses, and for a second you had to do a double take to see if whether it was Eliseo or not.
To me, that's really the one thing that sticks out, that stands out. I gotta be honest, I didn't like the Zoblin jumping on top of the goalpost trying to imitate Paulo.
But let me give you a little background on that. So he wasn't trying to imitate. Paul Lopes is now a goalkeeper.
I don't know if he asked him, but it's not original.
It's a tradition, right? It's a tradition.
The third goalie that's not even on the roster, that doesn't count in the league as a champion.
He's on the roster. He's a third goalie on the roster.
But he didn't play.
He doesn't count.
It doesn't matter. He's still
it's like Yuri Ribeiro.
Paul Lopes didn't play
there
a minute.
With a medal. I wouldn't have wore the medal, bro. I wouldn't have worn. I would have been embarrassed. I would have been in the corner all quietly. And the guys over there, same with Goña, man, celebrate like, yo, you didn't contribute to this, bro. Come on. Nah, he did contribute. Look, he was at practice and he was making his teammates better, but I would have been sour grape. I mean, I would have been heated. Like, bro, you didn't even put me on a freaking roster for the last game. Like, there was a chance we could have been winning 10-0 and you could have put me in and you didn't even give me that opportunity. I would have been heated.
Well,
I would have been here. I mean, and I think that's one criticism. If there is a criticism of Bruno Lage, is that?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, there was guys there that could probably get minutes.
There's no bigger fan of Tarap than me, right?
He's a champion.
But he didn't have to play or even be on the roster. He played, but he didn't have to be on the roster this week, and he still would have been a champion.
Yeah.
And a guy that. Some people have been critical, and look, I I'm glad that the guy's turned it around. He's gotten in shape, and he's, you know, changes for at least for this season because it started there. We don't know what's going to happen, but for this season, he turned his career around at Benfica, right? But a guy like Yuri, who's been there since day one, he deserved to be on the bench, at least on the bench, more so than a Tarap, for example, because Tarap is there half of the season. The other guy, so I think Lage could have let him come in. Yo, 89th minute.
Grimaldo played every single minute of every single game.
Put him on the field for a minute. And if I'm Yuri Ribeiro, I would have been heated. No, that's me. I'm being honest.
He played the Portuguese Cup.
But that doesn't count for the Liga.
I understand. Well, he's got next year to look forward to.
Next year he's got what they... Yeah.
For this, I hope not.
And Rio Ave again? I doubt they're going to win the chip.
Cristiano, anything else that as you're watching the celebrations and I can't help...
Luizão, Shell, to see the old the Velha Guarda come out. It was special, but, man, I mean, everything else, I guess we've gotten spoiled, right? We've seen a lot of these celebrations over, I mean, 5 out of the last 6 years. But that Eliseo thing, to me, it stood out. You know, watching Samadi speak that perfect Portuguese is just, you know, it's just amazing. And look, everybody seemed to have a good time. I thought Servi was going to be, you know, a little bit more twisted than he was, but he was able to keep it together and keep his composure.
You know, it was twisted.
Svilar?
Yes, Svilar
looked like he was halfway there.
Svilar was ripped.
What do you? I mean, you guys keep asking me. What about you guys? Nobody got to listen to you guys.
I don't know if anything else stuck in your mind, Dave. For you, any imagery, anything that from the celebration that caught your eye or that you feel it's worth mentioning?
Bruno Lage has a career in politics. If he ever wants to get out of coaching, this guy can run for prime minister of Portugal today. And I think he'd even have Portistas voting for him for his speech there at the end. If it's true, you know, we're such a passionate country for football. But if we put that same amount of passion towards education and economics, Portugal could be a top country in the world. And with that message, I don't know if it was more of a backhanded compliment or not, but he really got the people going with that those comments. And like I said, I'd vote for him for prime minister tomorrow if he decided to run.
Yeah, because I get the message that he was trying to pass, right? Well, first of all, was one of respect for your opponents. You should always respect your opponents, value your opponents. And the other one is that there's much more important things in life than football. In Portugal, which is a country that has struggled with some of their policies and their politics, and the people that spent in time and effort in debating football and doing something around football, if they spent their time more active in a policy and politics, perhaps the country would be in better shape. I get it because you know, it's true. There's poverty in Portugal. There's medical issues with strikes and all kinds of things. There's lower wages there. You know, Portugal is a happy country, but is not the country that everybody paints it to be.
Well, the good news is that he got a $2 million bonus that he could donate now and make a big difference.
Hey, donate that $1 million. If you were only expecting one, no. Look,
nah, look, he means well, and it's you know, it's great. It's great to see someone put things into perspective and respect his opponents and respect what other teams are trying to do, even though everyone tries to throw darts at Benfica and stain everything they do. So it's good to see.
Let me ask you this, Cristiano.
No,
the Marquês celebration has gone from something that was kind of natural to something that's now more set up, stage orchestrated, if you will, whatever you want to call it, more controlled. It's like Times Square in New Year's, right? There's some police presence, so on and so forth. There is a clear demonstration of happiness by the people at the exit of the garages at Estádio Luz, na Rotunda Cosme Damião. That was natural. Mm-hmm. That was natural. And to me, there was a lot of people saying on the internet that felt more like the celebration from years past than the one at the Marquês, because now it's so commercialized with bands and acts on stage, so on and so forth. What do you think?
I really never even thought about it. I haven't spent much time thinking about it. Look, who cares? If you have a problem, don't show up. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. Look, they're going to have the security set up. I know it's staged. It is what it is. But this is all an opportunity to market and brand stuff and make money. It's all about making money. These players are worth too much money nowadays. You can't get near them. Benfica protects their players maybe a little bit too much. It is what it is, bro. I really don't. I haven't even thought about it until now. So yeah. I apologize if I'm not expanding on as much as you would like, or if I'm not saying, you know, anything that you agree with, but I just it's something that if I get the opportunity, I would like to attend.
Where would you be if you get the opportunity? I'm going to try to do it all. Places.
You have to make it out there.
If you had to choose both places and one place out of the two, which one would you have opted for? Would you have opted for Marquês, which is a more traditional, customary type of thing, or would you have gone what felt natural,
bro? There's no truth. Why can't I do both?
You could.
Okay,
but then the thing is that the team is coming out of the Estádio da Luz, okay, to go down in the Marquês.
Uh-huh.
You probably would have never made the Marquês.
I don't know.
In time.
Okay,
the way that bus was going, you could have walked faster than that bus.
Imagine all the roadways that are closed off, the accesses to the Marquez that are closed off.
I mean, you're right. By the time you get to
unless
the Marquez,
you got Daily Zill with the scooter to give you a ride.
You're going to be all the way in the back. You're probably not going to see much, but it's still an experience that as a Benfiquista, if you have an opportunity to go to the Marquez, whether it's natural or whether staged, I mean, you still want to go experience it. And maybe you get it out the way one time and it's a bucket list, you know,
definitely
one of those bucket lists, you know, and if you make it, maybe you get it out of your system. But to me, there is no, I mean, it is what it is, man. It's a sign of times. I mean, everyone critiques and everyone wants to complain about, you know, security, this and that until something goes wrong. And then they're the ones involved. Then they're going to critique because there was not enough security because in today's time, look, people are always going to complain about something.
Yeah.
And the club is doing what they have to do. Pretty sure there's money involved. It is what it is. Look, I have a bigger problem with the stuff that they do at the Rotunda coming into the stadium with the flags and that staging that than I do staging the actual celebration at the Marquez. Because at the end of the day, I think that has a lot more to do with the city itself, right?
The Marquez.
Yeah, because the city, they can't have people run around.
And it's people that come from all over the country.
And we're talking about, you know, 60,000 started to lose as well, but probably more than 60,000 at the Marquez. I don't know what the numbers are, right? But the city.
60,000?
Wasn't it 500,000?
No. let me ask you a question, guys. So you guys are laughing, but didn't I say there's 60,000 at the stadium? And I'm pretty sure there's more there, right? So more than 60,000 is 500,000, right? What the hell? I said
more than 60,000.
But I said more. If I had said less, then laugh at me. I said more. So the city themselves, they're going to want to organize. They want to try. They don't want this thing to get out of control.
Yeah, I get it.
So I'm not even sure if it's a Benfica thing or if it's a...
No, it's definitely not a Benfica thing. If it's a Lisbon thing. Something that's organized by the town.
I don't know about the bands. You think the bands is organized by the city?
No, I mean, somebody's got to pay for that entertainment.
This is more of a topic of conversation that maybe on next week's podcast, right? Or on the next podcast, we bring in like somebody, Serginho Ingracia, I call him Ingracia, whatever. Nuno, nosso amigo Nuno. Bring somebody like that has more of an idea. I have no idea what the hell they do. Listen, if I'm there, I'm probably going to be drunk at either place I'm at.
No, maybe you could get Timo. Timo was out there.
Timo was there, yeah.
Or Carolina. Nina.
But but being there, it's like you saying me being there, I would know who set this up. I'm not saying that.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about someone that would know
a little bit of backstory.
About who's organizing these parties. And if Timo knows or Nina, that's fine. They're more, but I'm just saying, I mentioned Sergio and I mentioned Nuno because I would think that they would know that they'd have an answer to that. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, just because I'm there doesn't know. I have no idea what the hell organized the party. If it's a Benfica thing, if it's a city, I don't know what it is. So maybe someone that would have more information on that be better off answering that question than me. Cause I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah, no, definitely. Always nice to celebrate.
Man, it's a good, stop bitching and complaining, bro. It's a great
I'm not mentioning
I'll complain. Go back there every year with RoboCops all around me celebrating the title. I'll sign up for that right now.
No,
yeah, give me 500,000 Benfiquistas drinking and celebrating a title. It doesn't
500,000 there, bro. Portugal,
yeah, that's what they said.
According to Benfica TV. So take that with
500,000 people in Portugal.
They measure that by the centimeter on the TV screen, the drone footage.
They had somebody counting one by one by one.
Freeze frame, counting the heads. Now, I don't know. Look, it certainly looked like a lot of people to me. It was definitely more than 60,000. Maybe 60,000
people. I said 60,000. You know, at the lose, there was 64,000 for the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it was definitely more than 64,000, but I don't know if it was 500,000. I don't know if it was 100,000. I don't know.
Yeah, so, like, look, I'm glad that title is finally wrapped up and we were able to get it. Obviously, you know, there was some questions in regard to whether we were going to be able to get it or not. But I think that ultimately the team's work and perseverance and motivation was able to get us the title. And I think that there's probably not one Benfiquista in the world that's not happy with the way things turned out.
I mean, the one thing that was impressive to me, about the celebrations, right? Not even the title. The title, everyone is ecstatic and everyone knows how I feel about that. But the one thing that was impressive to me, man, and it's something that we've seen in years past, but I guess now with you know, TV and internet and having everyone has a camera on their phone and anyone could really be a reporter on the spot on their phone. It's just the love that this club gets. I mean, Mozambique, Angola. I mean, you name London, Canada, United States.
We didn't even go to Ferry Street.
Everywhere. I mean, everywhere you turn, Toronto, everywhere you turn, there's Benfiquistas. And what I'm talking about, when I say Benfiquistas, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about three or four guys.
Yeah.
All right? I'm talking about hundreds or thousands, right? Definitely hundreds, closer to 1,000. I mean, it's just berserk how people just enjoy this club all around the world. The attention and the love that they get, it's tremendous. And then, you know, it's a great thing to see, man. It's definitely a great thing to see. Anywhere there's a Portuguese community, man, Benfiquistas, they show their colors. They came out to represent, and they celebrate with the best of them. And that's what it's about, man. It's about celebrating and enjoying the moment with the fellow Benfiquistas, whether it's a staged event, whether it's, look, I just want to be able to sit out there and hug my fellow Benfiquistas, my friends, and share in that special moment. I mean, these are the things that these are the moments that come 40 years, 50 years, oh, I'm still alive, that we'll look back and say, yeah, I know exactly where I was at when I celebrated 37 or 38. You know what I mean? It's those are special moments that you're going to cherish forever.
Yeah, Dave, were you able to ride around the neighborhood and honk your horn and fly a flag or no?
I was at work on my phone watching the game live, but no, wasn't able to go to Toronto and witness it. Was really jealous of watching people's celebration on Twitter. Like Cristiano says, it's definitely a bucket list to do, being at the Marquês one of these years, have to make it out there. But to everyone that was there, I hope they enjoyed it. And hopefully again next year we can be there, whether it's a staged event or not. It's always a party, and it's always good.
Right. Here's a couple more items before we wrap this up. UEFA has announced their Portuguese team of the year, or Liga NOS team of the year, right? Yeah. I'll give it to you. Casillas in goal, Almeida, Dias, Militão, Grimaldo across the back. So three of the four defenders, Benfiquistas. In the midfield, Herrera and Bruno Fernandes. On the wings, Pizzi and Rafa, João Félix and Seferovic. Cristiano, what do you make of this utter domination by Benfica?
I think Benfica dominated the league. and you know, all jokes aside now. You can make an argument for everyone on the list.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the top scorer is Seferovic. Then second is Bruno Fernandes. Third, I believe, is João Félix, followed by Rafa. Mm-hmm. Pizzi.
Pizzi
led the league. And then, you know, you have the one question mark, maybe, and I'm not disputing, but maybe you could have a conversation with Ruben Dias. Yes, he played practically every game in the league, with the exception of maybe one, but he led the league in minutes. The guy was there the whole season, so maybe they gave him a little bit of a little bit of a boost there. But Militão had a phenomenal season for Porto,
even at right
Grimaldo,
back.
Even at right back. Once they acquired Pepe, he moved out to the outside. Almeida is another guy that we criticize over and over and over. But to me, the last 2 years, he's actually been good at Benfica. This year, compiled a bunch of assists. And as long as the guy puts the effort, man, I'm cool with him. I stopped complaining about Almeida last season. But yeah, I mean, you can make an argument for everyone on that team. I mean, look, they Herrera is another guy that, I mean, it's not because I'm, you know, whatever, I can't stand Porto, but I don't. But then again, name me another guy that you could play.
I think if Gabriel plays more of the season, then he definitely.
Remember, Gabriel wanted 3 months there with Vitória, where he wasn't getting a lot of burn. Then he finally got a lot of burn. Then he missed like what, 9 games in the final season. You know, Gabriel is a guy that we expect to be on that list next season because the guy has all the tools. But we'll talk about next season and players and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure on next week's podcast.
Yeah, again, these lists are a little bit arbitrary, right? It's all the opinion of the journalists that write. And these were UEFA journalists that cover the Portuguese league that came up with these 11, the best 11 of the Liga NOS. So, I mean, proud. And as Cristiano mentioned, certainly there's no arguing here. You can make an argument for every player that's here, as Cristiano mentioned. So what else? A couple more things. It's been rumored that Terapt and Luis Filipe reached the gentleman's agreement for Terapt to return. What do you think?
I think I'm going to reserve my comments for next week's podcast. This week's podcast about the title, man. You talking about off-season, you know, topics for next week's podcast. This week, Terapt de Campeón, he got his medal, deserved his medal, more so than other players.
The only guy not drinking on that celebration.
That's how committed he is, guys. See how committed he is? He made sense.
And he hit the gym the next day. I don't know if he did or not.
What's it called?
Ramadan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he drinks, period. I don't think...
Well, he did before.
He did? Yeah. I mean, he's a new man. He's had a rebirth. Another item that I wanted to mention before we sign off. Ruben Amorim looks like he's going to be Benfica's U23 coach.
Great.
Dave, what else you got, man?
Congratulations to the females.
That's right.
They also won the Taça de Portugal a couple hours before we did. So two parties in one at the Marquês.
Absolutely. And at Stade Luz also during halftime, those ladies walked around the stadium.
4-0.
4-0.
They got their revenge back on the one team that I think that beat them this year.
No team beat
them. Or scored on them.
Or, yeah.
Something like that.
Valadares, I think was the name of the team. Ooh. Very good weekend for Benfica. Valadares, Gaia. Who's Gaia that? Valadares. That's the team that they
played. That's the team.
They played on Saturday?
Saturday before the
Benfica. I thought it was Braga.
No. They defeated Braga. No.
That might have been the handball team. Sorry, I don't know. it was in Braga.
Braga the round before?
Was that the start of the season?
They beat Braga, I think.
Oh, then that's probably – I watched the replay, yeah. And I thought it was the final.
Yeah. So next week, as you're familiar with what our podcast, the way we do on the last podcast of the season is that we virtually hand out the awards. Each one of us hands out an award to best defensive player, best offensive player, most improved.
Everyone will be sitting on pins and needles for the next week waiting for –
disappointment of the season. Breakthrough.
We're gonna do play that game. Buy, sell, keep.
Yeah, we should do that too.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
We should do that too. So yeah, next
week. No spoilers. We will. Yuri, Pazos Malo.
So it's gonna be quite an interesting podcast next week. And don't forget to tune in. We'll decide whether or not we'll do it live on YouTube.
No, we gotta do it live. We gotta get one of those guys to give us maybe we get the Presenta Camera to come in. What's the guy from Porto? He ought to know. The guy that was critiquing the referees the week before. He ought to know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna mention Porto because throughout. I watched no joke about 6 hours of celebration.
Not one person mentioned them.
Yeah, they did.
Not one chant.
No, they didn't. Nope.
Not one chant against Porto. Not one chant against Benfica Sporting. There was a couple things that were mentioned, but other than that, it's just Benfica being Benfica, and that's why a lot of people should be able to identify themselves with the club. You know, there's a certain level of class that comes along with being a Benfiquista. And I think that if anything, we're above that type of stuff. You know, we concentrate our efforts on celebrating ourselves and not calling out other people like what happened last year. So I think that's all I got. Cristiano, you got anything else?
Nothing else.
Dave?
Nope.
Follow Dave on Twitter, 87DO87, Cristiano at 10CO10.
I'm just glad we're back on camera and people are able to see our handsome faces. At least that's what my mom says. And it's good. It's good. It's good to be live. And I'm glad that all 753,000 of you tuned in. It's a pleasure.
500,000.
Everyone that was at the Marquês is tuning in live now.
Right now. And next week, bro, the awards. You gotta tune in for that.
Yeah, you don't want to miss the awards for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week. Don't forget to check out BenficaIndependent.com. for a lot of content on Benfica and throughout this offseason. We're there. We're going to try to contribute. If you want to write in English, let me know, and I'll make sure that you get
send me a DM. Send me a DM. I'll tell you how to send me, wire me some money.
Yeah, no.
No.
People are looking for English content in, on Benfica Independent. There's German content. There's Portuguese content. French. There's French content. So we need to get that English content. So if you have a talent for writing and you like writing about Benfica, hit me up. I can get you in there. Anyway, that's all we got. Don't forget to check out, as I mentioned, Benfica.com, BenficaPodcast.com. Benfica.com also. I don't know if that's even a thing. At Benfica Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Thank you very much. Talk to you again next week. See you, everybody.
Peace.
Later.
Ciao.